Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
Let's do it.
Do you have anything to talk about this week?
Oh, no. I watched Monday Night War, or the last few episodes of it.
How many episodes are on right now?
Right now, as of this recording, three. They posted one last week, and then there was two this week.
Okay.
I watched the first two, and then I started the third one, but then I fell asleep last night, so.
Yeah.
Not indicative of being boring or anything, I was just very tired.
No, I watched the first episode back when they specialed it.
Yeah.
So.
They posted that one, and then, interesting, they're posting two different versions of every episode. I forgot what they called the other one, but the one that has like a reworked or remastered or whatever, that one is the PG friendly version.
Okay, so
if you click on like what was it, the Rise of NWO, mm-hmm. The one that just says Rise of NWO is the full non censored version. The one that has whatever after it, I can't remember. Is the edited or blurred out version or whatever.
They blur out like middle fingers and stuff?
Yeah.
Okay, I was like, they worked really hard to not blur out that Scratch logo anymore.
Right, which was a big thing, which wasn't a big deal with Rise of NWO, but then the other one was like Embracing the Attitude or something like that.
Yeah.
You know the part that shows like, you know, this is rated this for that, mm-hmm. that I've never seen that screen more filled up before that episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. That one has a lot more middle fingers.
Mm-hmm. No, I remember, I found, like, I stumbled upon, when I first started watching wrestling again, just going back and looking at stuff,
mm-hmm.
I found, like, a parent television council list of the 10 worst television shows of the year from, like, you know, 2001 or something.
Right.
And so, I was looking at it, and SmackDown was number one. I was like, they are just being angry, grumpy parents and stuff. And then I was like, nope.
Yeah.
No, that's pretty inappropriate for children.
And the thing that I got in the beginning of that episode, and again, I haven't finished it, but the way they played it up, like the big turning point that got a lot of people upset was the Brian Pillman gun scene that mm-hmm. they did.
Yeah.
Apparently they got a pretty good deal of backlash from that. But they also had these other numbers that JR was reading off where they said like 75% of their viewership liked that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So they're like, you know, hey, sorry about that, but we're going to keep doing stuff where that people like.
Yeah.
You know. But I don't remember that specific scene being that big of a deal because whenever we think of Attitude Era, we think of all this other stuff. And then, you know, the Brian Pillman thing is like, oh, that happened once.
Yeah.
You know, and then just kind of move on.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of stuff like that where I'm like, you know, there's a lot of stuff with, like, the beer truck and the Zambo.
Yeah.
Like, stuff like they talk about over and over again, Mike Tyson over and over again.
Because that's stuff that they can air now
mm-hmm.
that, you know, as long as they throw up some other sounds, some other music and stuff, they can pretty much get away with showing footage of that. Now, you know, Brian Pillman pointing a gun at the camera,
mm-hmm.
it's probably a little bit harder to edit around.
Yeah. So, I have two things, and they're both, like, really sad and have depressed me about wrestling this past week that I need to talk about.
Oh, God.
And one of them was that one.
Okay.
Was watching the Monday Night War thing. And just watching the you know, the voiceover, the, you know, this is the greatest era of the business and stuff.
Right.
And they're saying that, and Stephanie said that in one of the things.
Mm-hmm.
And it shouldn't be.
No. We'll see, again, you know, you put any talking head in front of whatever documentary they're making, they're like, oh yeah, this was the greatest time, or these was one of the greatest of all time, or whatever. They're going to talk up that person. Like, you know, even on the Paul Heyman documentary, Stephanie was really talking up Paul Heyman. You know, she was being a little bit, you know, broad and empty about it, but
there's a difference in there's a difference in being a talking head, and I get that.
Yeah.
And I feel like I am allotting for that.
Right.
You talk about the thing that the documentary is a subject on, it's amazing.
Right.
You know, and it's, you know, and there's definitely a, you know, window of using hyperbole and stuff.
Yeah.
But, when they're talking about what made it so good, and, you know, because it's a documentary series, it's several hours
right.
of talking about this era, and they talk about what made it so good, and they don't do that anymore.
Right.
And it's like, I don't know if they realize it, are they just okay with it. Mm-hmm. Like, and it's not necessarily the attitude thing. It's not. Mm-hmm. I've never felt that way, and I think most people agree that just the, you know, language and the sex and violence and stuff is not automatically better. You know, and you will have people like, PG no. automatically makes wrestling terrible kind of no. thing.
Yeah.
But it's not. They talk about, like, stuff being unpredictable and consistently looking at the previous week and how to top last week and how right. do we do that and that kind of thing.
That element, yes.
And just watching that and you know what you did. That's the thing, is like, you're saying that you know what you did.
Yeah.
But why aren't you doing it now?
Right.
Because there's no way that this week in wrestling topped last week in
no,
wrestling.
Not at all. No, no. And I get, like, there's some weeks where that's not going to happen.
Yeah, no, I don't.
But that doesn't mean you don't try.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You
just don't see the effort that you see that them talking about.
Exactly. Like to try and point out something, I'm like, well, they had Hogan and Flair and Shawn Michaels on for the Hall of Fame panel or whatever it was called.
Right.
And it's like, that's a weak attempt.
No, yeah, it's a glorified kickoff show panel.
Yeah.
They just, you know, put three Hall of Fame, you know, people on it and put it at the top of the show and basically turn it into the usual John Cena's going to overcome everything speech.
Yeah.
Except we got three Hall of Famers involved in it now.
Yeah. That's the other thing I'm upset about. And I will go much farther on the limb than you to talk good about John Cena.
I know.
And I think farther than most people.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Because you're, you know, you're try to be optimistic about those things.
I try right. real hard.
I'm assuming you're talking about that and the ending of Raw, where they basically completely buried, well, I don't want to say buried, but they took out the legs from under the Wyatts.
They did kind of take out the legs from under the Wyatts.
Yeah, I mean, they can, I believe Bray can recover from that.
Yeah.
Because he's just that kind of a character.
Yeah.
But it was unnecessary.
But it was unnecessary, and it also, it happened so quickly after Jericho sacrificed his credibility right. yet again to put over this character. It's like, right. oh, getting too high. Let's have Cena taunt that down.
Right. And a guy who was just a credible threat to John Cena back during the WrestleMania yeah. time. But now he's, you know, now as long as he's got two giant dudes in his corner, he can overcome everything.
And it kind of harkens back to like when Dolph Ziggler was there. Mm-hmm. And like he had just put over Jericho. And yeah. then lost to John Cena again and again, hit John Cena with three finishers.
Yeah.
And interference on behalf of Ziggler, and Cena still overcame.
Yeah.
You know, and so, yeah, that's sour taste in my mouth. But honestly, okay, fine, whatever, because I have faith in Bray Wyatt, honestly.
Right,
nothing yeah. else, but I have faith in Bray Wyatt to be creepy and weird and interesting and... Yeah, I'll still watch what he wants to do.
Yeah.
And when he is in a storyline of his own and not just being served up for the greater storyline of John Cena,
yeah,
he'll still be a credible threat. But here's the thing that I'm really upset about. So, I try, when I'm watching the show, I try to stay in kayfabe.
Right.
Like, you know, just fingers and ears, la 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 la, this guy will win because he's better or worse, not because... he's got a movie to promote, you know?
Right,
like,
yeah.
Even though I know it's true and I can't avoid it, yeah, that's, you know, let's try and pretend. Let's all work together, you and me, WWE, and we'll all pretend that it's a real show.
Right.
And so, when, you know, you have a thing like the Brock Lesnar match, and it looked real, and it, for the first time in a very long time, really kind of was able to suck me in and be like, I don't know how John Cena's gonna do this.
Right.
I mean, you know, and I can step out and he's saying, well, he's gonna do it because they're gonna write the script that says John Cena wins at the end.
Right.
And that's how he's gonna overcome the odds.
Right.
You know, and I know that, but I try really hard to stay in there, like...
Stay in that realm of believability.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And then to have John Cena, like, prance out, suffering, and yes, he didn't show up the next night, but it's a week later.
Yeah.
And John Cena came with zero visual injuries.
No.
Sold nothing.
No.
And it's just, it's... In that, literally in that walk down to the ring, I got
less excited about the Night of Champions match.
Yeah.
And that's all it took was John Cena completely disregarding that he had just been destroyed.
Yeah.
And he said the words, he had just been destroyed.
But he wasn't acting like it.
But he wasn't acting like it.
Yeah.
And that... And later in the night, Rusev sold the ankle injury that he got 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Which... that's how you do it.
Yeah, no. I've been very critical of Rusev.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the entire time that he's been on the main roster. But one thing I will absolutely give him credit for is he sells the crap out of that ankle lock for a long period of time.
Mm-hmm.
Almost to the point where like, okay, yeah, we get it. You can sell. Well, how about we just pump the brakes a little bit, you know? But it's what you want whenever you're trying to make the opponent a credible threat.
Rusev is making the ankle lock look like a good move.
Right.
And a good choice for Swagger to use, which has never happened in the history of Swagger before.
No. No.
So, but it's like, John Cena, he pulled back the curtain so much. Like, oh, look, I wasn't really hurt.
Yeah.
And, of course, I will, you know, overcome the odds, because here it is. And it's just, it was very disheartening.
Yeah. Because at this point, I would kind of be okay. Or, you know, the way things were, you know, SummerSlam and the night after, I was like, you know what, if they do the whole, like, John Cena kind of crawls from the ashes or whatever and overcomes the gods and then wins, I'd be a little bit more okay with it because that's an actual storyline and it makes sense. Now it's just like, Super Cena's back, whatever. And now if he wins that way, then I'll be pissed.
Exactly. No, before Monday, I would have been fine with John Cena winning.
Yeah.
Honestly, I was like, John Cena has odds to overcome now.
For once, yeah.
Yes, and that hasn't had. That's the problem with the John Cena overcomes the odds. Is like the odds that he overcomes is a guy who's never won a championship.
Right.
He's a guy who's much farther down on the card than him.
Yeah.
And so, of course, John Cena's going to overcome those quote-unquote odds.
Right.
Because they're in his favor. They're just like, in kayfab, they are in his favor.
Yeah.
And so... But, you know, Brock Lesnar, there are odds against John Cena. So to watch John Cena fight and fight those odds, to overcome those odds a month later,
mm-hmm.
I would have been fine with that. I'm like, yep, John Cena overcame the odds. You are right when you say that, Michael Cole.
Yeah.
Congratulations, well-earned title, sir.
Right.
And now it's not.
No.
Now it is because it is fully happy, healthy Cena coming in. And you have a month. You have a month to be crappy, a little less crappy, a little less crappy.
Right.
Build back up. And do they... John Cena doesn't have to win every week, you guys.
No.
John Cena does not have to win every week.
And, you know, we're going around the dirt sheets, which, you know, take that as you will.
Mm-hmm.
Word is that the decision to have that ending at Raw was Vince's, mainly because he was... he didn't want the Cena fans to lose faith in Cena. I'm like, yeah, you don't have to have him win every week, and they're still going to cheer for the guy. You know, like they're going to stick around.
Yeah,
you know, as long as he wins a match, eventually they'll be fine. Having him win every single meaningless Raw match is not, it's not a terrible thing.
He could have even won. You know what? He could have. One, he could have been selling a back injury that Bray Wyatt flops on the whole time.
Yeah.
And overcome odds, like you want him to.
Right.
And that would have been fine.
Right.
I'm not mad.
But the complete disregard for anything going on at SummerSlam or anything before that, and then pretty much completely disregarding any sort of offense that the Wyatts were trying to have.
Yes.
It's... Come on.
You made Brock look weak.
Yeah.
You made the Wyatt family look weak.
Yeah.
You sullied one of your best pay-per-views this year.
Yeah. And it's causing people to lose interest in the upcoming
pay-per-view. Yes, the upcoming pay-per-view is now less interesting.
Which is coming around this point in time where a lot of people are supposed to be renewing their networks. Because a lot of people bought the network just for WrestleMania.
Yes.
So it's around this time where people
were hitting the 6-month mark.
Yeah.
And all of that happened... Because John Cena did not limp to the ring.
Yeah.
That's literally all it would have taken.
Yeah.
I'm not mad that John Cena beat the Wyatt family.
Right.
I get that he needs to reclimb the ladder to face Brock Lesnar.
Right.
I'm not mad at that. I'm not mad that he wanted to, you know, have a rematch clause. But you reset the story. Brock has to win again at Night of Champions.
Right.
For me to be at all invested in this again.
Yeah.
And so, it's... I don't know, it just... And you know what? If that's the plan, fine. That doesn't excuse it. Like, you can't, you know... If that is, we are keeping the belt on Lesnar till WrestleMania, and he won't defend every month, kind of sporadic kind of thing like that.
Right.
Fine. But that's not... That's still not okay. You still did not... You did not legitimize the victory.
Mm-hmm.
Because you bounced back from it. And so it's... I don't know. It's and there's been rumors that John Cena is quite injured.
Right.
And, you know, they're fresh cropped up. It kind of feels like John Cena is fresh injured and might have to go on the shelf for, you know... That happens every 3 months now.
Right.
Because he won't heal when he goes.
Right, he'll come back too soon.
Mm-hmm.
Every time.
And so I'm worried at this point. I'm worried that he is going to go on the shelf and Roman Reigns is going to be the next guy.
Right.
Because I love Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns is not ready to carry a company on his shoulders.
No, not yet.
And there should not be, this is just a general thing, there should not be one person carrying a company on your shoulders.
Right.
The days that worked with Hulk Hogan, it really did. The way the wrestling business was structured at that time to be able to build a superstar champion to legitimize a national celebrity of a wrestler that everyone in the country would know and focal point flock to Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
That works.
Yeah.
That does not work for the betterment of your company or your business now.
No. If it works in the sense of merchandising, that's about it.
I'm not even sure that it does.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you two, three guys who are all faces and all hate each other. And I pick my favorite.
Yeah.
You know, I'm still gonna buy. If you have the same number of people willing to buy t-shirts,
right?
Who cares whose face is on the t-shirt?
Fair enough. As long as people are willing to buy the t-shirt.
Exactly.
Okay. Fair enough.
I mean, and just, it's... You have this thing where John Cena might be on the shelf. It looks like CM Punk's not coming back at all. Daniel Bryan can't wrestle.
Right.
You have this vacant gap that Randy Orton's sitting in.
Right.
You know, and Randy Orton's not doing a lot because they're not giving Randy Orton a lot to do.
Right.
And just any... there's everybody else is, like, pressed up against that glass ceiling.
Right.
Anybody from The Shield is there. Dolph Ziggler is there. Cesaro is not quite there, but...
He could be.
Isn't as far. Miz is honestly closer than you probably feel comfortable with it.
Right.
Sheamus is honestly probably closer... You know, and it's, and just, I don't know, like, let it go. Let all of them start main eventing everything.
Right.
Just take turns, you know, mm-hmm. Do tournament things.
Right.
You have this whole list of people where matches could go either way,
mm-hmm.
And I don't know.
Yeah.
And you just throw a belt in there, and you make it a main event,
mm-hmm.
And you let them actually go and have matches instead of 5-minute squash interference matches.
Right.
Where the real opponent is on commentary.
Right.
You know, and that's the real story is, oh, one of the wrestlers in the ring doesn't like somebody on commentary.
Right. They use that a lot. Yeah.
So, don't make another John Cena, guys.
But you think they will. They're trying
to. I think they will. Roman. I think it's, they're trying to make it Roman Reigns, and I think Roman Reigns is either going to
eventually flourish with that, or if they pull it too soon,
I think he's gonna be. I think he will sputter out and just not be as interesting, or they will force Roman Reigns and he will become the new John Cena where everybody doesn't like him.
Right, because I'm starting to see that already.
Like, I see people not liking him, and I'm still really enjoying Roman Reigns.
Right.
But
you kind of see the seed of it.
I see what they're saying, even though I don't agree with it.
Right.
And if Roman Reigns becomes Super Roman Reigns from now till WrestleMania, where he challenges for the title, Brock's a babyface. And no, Roman Reigns is the heel in my heart.
Right, absolutely, absolutely. I'm right there with you. Honestly, probably... something about Dean that tells me if they were able to pull the trigger on him now, he could do it.
Yeah?
Something about him makes me think that he could absolutely do it right now. But again, like you said, should it really be one guy to carry the company? And I agree with you, you know, because if you have one guy carrying the company, that's the one guy that they're going to feel forced to put in the main event for the next 10 or so years.
Mm-hmm.
And do you really want that? Like, you really want that one guy to face your rotation of heels for the next few years? As we saw with John Cena, like, he would have a new feud, like, every other month.
Mm-hmm.
And it would just be some random guy. Then you'll end up with, you know... Because that, at that point, you'll end up with stuff that just don't work. Like, oh, I don't know, Triple H and Vladimir Kozlov in the main event. Or John Cena and Great Khali in the main event. Like, you really don't want that to happen. So, that's partly why the brand split was a good thing.
The brand split was a good thing.
Because you had another main event that could, you know, end the show if they decided to move the order of things a bit. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, they could rotate or they could switch or whatever. Because that felt like the main event scene was a little bit bigger.
Yeah.
We don't have that anymore because the big gold belt is gone now. And we don't have the brand split, and I don't think we're going to get a brand split for a very long time unless something changes in the some point down the road.
Yeah.
And apparently they're moving SmackDown back to Thursdays. I just found that out.
That is official?
Well, WWE hasn't announced it, but Sci-Fi announced their fall schedule.
Okay.
And they said SmackDown on
Thursday.
That bus was right, even though they repainted over it. They're going to have to paint it again.
Yeah, they got to waste all that paint because they got too overzealous with their announcements.
Right. So, I feel like if there's an elite group of main eventers,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, the occasional people coming in trying to join that elite group.
There's honestly, like, people like Mark Henry, however you feel about it, like, Mark Henry is a mid-carder, and they're like, nope, he's a legitimate threat. And I'm like, okay, he's a legitimate threat now.
Yeah, because...
And he's a little bit legit
threat. Because that's how they book him.
Yeah, and it works for him for a while.
At least for the past couple of years.
Yeah, it's worked for him to be a super legitimate threat when he's needed, and just kind of a little goofy character on the side when not. It's not going to work for a lot of people.
No, not at all.
But there are people where, like, Kane is another one, where Kane is Kane's a little mid-card character.
Yeah.
Until they need Kane to be a legitimate threat for something, and then he is, and it works until he goes back down.
And I'm getting to the point where I just openly groan anytime Kane's music hits now.
Yeah.
Not because he's a heel and he's a guy that we're supposed to hate, but it's just, they put him in so many crappy scenarios.
Mm-hmm.
Where he's just going to lose anyway because I don't think he's won a match since... Hell, I can't think of the last match he's won.
That time he beat The Undertaker?
Sure. We'll go with
Team
that.
Team Friendship won some things.
Well, yeah, sure. And he might have won a match... He might have won a match against Zack Ryder and Embrace the Hate scenario.
Yeah.
But now even more so, now that he's, you know, back to the slacks... Wrestling. Like, when he loses the match, does he just lose all ability to wear actual wrestling gear? Like, is that, like, a plus, and, like, put the mask on and you get automatically plus one attire?
I guess so.
Is that something that's in the,
in the card game?
In the Magic the Wrestling?
No. Oh, okay, we can talk about that. I'm excited about that.
Okay, Joel's so excited about this that he was playing it while we were about to record, and I was just like, okay, should we record now, or do you need a minute? Because you seem really interested by this.
I mean, it's a... The game's like 3 rounds long. Like, I can play like 30 rounds in 10 minutes.
Okay. So, well, it's one of those type of games where you can only do so much in a certain period of time?
No.
Okay.
It already had been deleted if that was the case.
Okay. Yeah, no, I hate those type of games.
Yeah, no. Those games like, pay more for more. Nope.
Like, what was it? The Marvel Allegiance Alliance or whatever? Or the Kim Kardashian game? I mean, I said too much.
I have not played the Kim Kardashian game. I will stick to my wrestling card.
It is the bane of everyone's existence. I played it on a friend's phone, just because I was curious, and I wanted, and it, the phone didn't belong to me, and I wanted to cleanse it with fire.
Okay, so it is, like, it's, they announced it as the first, like, official 2K Sports WWE game.
Right.
Which, yeah, technically correct is the best correct.
Right.
It's, I don't know how many, like, actual, like, trading card computer simulator games you've played. It's the kind of thing where, like, if you win, you get two cards. If you lose, you get one card. So really, the winner is the one who's played the most, and thus just had played the most amount. Thus, they have the most cards.
Yes.
So the winner is the loser.
Yes.
So, but it's,
the person with all the Pokemon cards wins. Yeah. The one that has collected them all.
Mm-hmm. It's actually not a bad game. It's, you know, you have wrestlers. There's three rounds, and they're either single rounds or tag team rounds or diva rounds.
Right.
And so you build a thing of five wrestlers, and those are your five wrestlers that you build up. And it's, you know, you have to put out a card, and they put out a card, and whoever's wrestler is better wins. It'd actually make a nice little fine card game. There's a nice little bit of strategy of, like, each wrestler's different stats, and it'll be like, this round, it's a singles match, and your toughness stat matters. And next round, it doesn't matter at all. Your speed stat matters, or whatever. But here's the beautiful kicker, if you should download this game. There are animations in this game.
Okay.
Wrestling animations.
Okay.
Not where the wrestlers wrestle, but where literal cards walk down to the ring, smack into each other, and one of them pins the other one.
Okay.
These are skippable.
Oh, thank goodness.
I choose to skip them.
Just in case you're unsure how this whole wrestling match is going to go.
Yeah, because you put it out, and you know, honestly, I don't know who's going to win sometimes, because I'm too lazy to, like, actually do the math, because it'll be like, here's a tag team match, and you can,
there's math involved?
Well, it's basic math. It's like, this guy's got a number of this, and this guy's got a number of that. Oh, God,
okay, alright, fine, keep going.
There's always math involved in card games. Haven't you ever played a card game?
No, because I'm not a nerd!
Haven't you ever played, like, War? It's War, but with wrestling pictures on the cards.
Yeah, no, I didn't play War.
You nerd.
Oh, I'm the nerd, excuse me.
Okay, so this WWE is on you, what we're about to do here.
Okay.
Because nothing happened this week, except for crappy stuff.
Okay.
So we are going to literally play a live round of this card game so Chris can experience time what's going on. All right.
Visual jokes.
Yep, here we go. I hope not. All right, so here we go. Got to log in. You had to. I made up a new Facebook profile, by the way, because you have to log in via Facebook.
Why didn't you use your actual Facebook?
Because I don't want this to actually, like, leak out onto my real Facebook.
Okay, all right. I know we were going to talk about this in plugs and everything, but we have Class of Guitar has a Facebook
wrestling
page now.
Wrestling is not the problem. WWE Supercard is the problem.
Okay, alright. Understood.
Alright, so
forgot we're talking about Magic the Wrestling.
So, we have the exhibition matches and King of the Ring matches. I haven't touched King of the Ring. I have no idea what that is. I'm going to do King of the Ring later. Alright, and then they give you people. I'm going to play this guy. And we're going to play this. Alright, so if, what's his name? If CKP is listening.
Free plug!
Yep, we're wrestling you on WWE Supercard. Alright, so the first thing's a solo match.
Okay.
All right, so power and charisma are the important things here. So I'm going to use Stone Cold, because I'm always using Stone Cold, because he's a giant card. And that's how the card walks down to the ring.
Wow, it literally hobbles to the ring.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going against
Cody Rhodes.
Well,
Cody Rhodes is going to beat me.
With a mask?
No, I'm going to beat Cody Rhodes. Yep, Cody Rhodes with a mask. And so they're getting ready to wrestle.
Oh, Lord.
And
you were not kidding about this animation.
No, I'm not.
He just tombstoned. That's banned.
So the Stone Cold card tombstoned thing. And so then I'm going to use Brie Bella. What's it? Power? Yeah.
Brie Bella, you're going to use her for power?
She's literally my only diva card that I've been using. And so I can also use this chair card. Hang on.
This what card?
Chair card. So she's going to, like, also that's, I'm going to skip.
You're going to lose to AJ.
No, I'm not going to. I'm going to beat AJ.
With a chair?
Yeah. So she loses 7 to her power because I hit her with a chair. Oh, and she hit me with a chair, so it's a wash.
AJ's going to beat you.
No, I'm still going to beat AJ.
Because math?
Yeah, because math.
She just one with a dropkick.
I had 96 power, and she only had 53 power. All right, and so I'm going to definitely put The Miz
tag team
and
now.
Daniel Bryan on this tag team.
The Miz O'Brien.
Mm-hmm. And so, wait, hang on. Oh, so I'm going against Hulk Hogan and Edge. All right, watch this. Oh, see those little spinning things? That means we made a good tag team, but they made a better tag team because these things are going to turn green.
Because that's Hulk Hogan and Edge.
Yep, so they went plus 10 on their thing, so they might beat me. Yep.
That looks
so they
like,
won,
a,
they
that
won
looks
that
like a tornado tag.
But I won two out of three, so it's going to declare me the winner. So, CKP, I just beat you on wrestling supercard.
Yes, CKP, don't you feel foolish.
Yes, you do. And here's the card, so I get to draw two cards, of which I get a Gold Dust card.
All right.
And I get a Big John Studd card.
Okay.
So I can add those guys to my wrestling, collection. Or I can just feed them to my other wrestlers. Because that's the other thing. If you feed wrestlers to other wrestlers, then those wrestlers become more powerful.
What?
Yeah, no. Yeah, I'll show you. I'm going to feed a wrestler to another wrestler. There's no animation for that, unfortunately.
But it's like, called... Please tell me they literally is feeding.
It's called training. So if I need to train Stone Cold, I have to pick a card that's not important to me, like Seth Rollins here, and I'm going to train him so he eats him. There you go. And now he experienced increased by 41.
If that isn't an accurate metaphor for the top card...
I know, right?
Literally.
Like, he just literally squashes the cards that you don't want, the wrestlers that you don't aren't useful to you, you just literally feed to the top cards.
So basically, never use the 1-2-3 kid to train a higher-up card.
You know what? If I literally try and do that, and it kicks out, and I lose experience points, I will spend money on this app. Like, there's not even a money option. I'll just, like... fling
it's like, hey,
coins.
Just go to 2K's Twitter account. It's like, hey, 2K, where can I just send you $5?
Yeah, you made me laugh, and you earned this. I would like to mail you some money, please.
Okay, fair enough.
So yeah, no, it's a giant waste of time, but I enjoy
and
it.
And I would like to bring up, because using your Brie Bella card made me think of something that we were talking about yesterday. We were figuring out who gets the music. Apparently they both do!
But they talked about it!
Sure, they talked about it, that's lazy. No, that's not okay.
I don't know. I mean, you know what? Here's the thing.
Jim Johnson needs to get with the freaking program.
No, here's the thing. If they eventually go where they do start using different music, mm-hmm. like, that's fine, because it means there is a story arc here where they addressed in-show who would get to
yes,
use
the yes, and that was the ring, one bright music. Spot of that entire segment.
That was literally the best thing that happened this week on wrestling.
Oh, it was in that segment. That hurts.
That was an awful segment.
That was the horrible segment. Like, they're...
What about the girl that Daniel Bryan slept with?
Apparently they just decided...
Are we ignoring that?
They never actually found out if he actually did
they
the
did. Do you not remember?
Well, she said she defended him.
She defended him. She
but
said he didn't do it.
That doesn't cover
fine.
It in the world of WWE.
Fine. Excuse me.
There has to be some sort of, like, test or some sort of doctor thing and be like, I've examined both people and they clearly have not had any sort of relations.
You're right. We have not had Mick Foley come on and play a doctor.
No.
So it's still up in the air.
No. Mick Foley would be the nurse. Dr. Sacco, on the other hand.
Oh, I would be so back into this feud.
Oh, Dr. Sacco. If there was a Dr. Sacco, I would be completely enthralled and charmed by this scenario.
Oh, man. I did, by the way, I did watch the Paul Heyman documentary.
Yes.
So thoughts. We can talk about that.
Okay, let's talk about that.
Okay, so...
I've already shared my thoughts, so...
Yes,
we'll
it was...
To
Paul Heyman was actually a lot more interesting than every other wrestler that I've ever seen, because the first 20 minutes to half an hour of every wrestling documentary mm-hmm. is the exact same.
Right, yeah.
Is this Mad Libs of blank blank was my favorite as a kid and inspired me.
And
it changed my life when I saw a blank blank match. So I did blank blank, you know, and I did some sort of dangerous thing that we tell you not to do.
Right.
Because they all did it and then tell us not to do it. And then I went to blank D blank wrestling school where I met blank D blank and ended up in the WWE.
Right.
So yeah, for 20 minutes, they're all literally the same movie.
Right.
Until it, you know, finally starts doing that. And it was different for Paul Heyman. So that was actually really interesting seeing stuff about like him as a kid and, you know, mm-hmm. there's still similar stuff. He went to blank D blank and met blank D blank and blank D blank said this to him.
Now
so,
he's in the wrestling business.
Yeah.
But he went through a lot of different promotions first.
Yeah. A lot of the things, and it was a obviously it was a full out appraisal of Paul Heyman. So, you know, right. Even the stuff that was said bad about Paul Heyman was done, you know, very quickly with a compliment right after it.
Right.
But it was very interesting to see people talk about ECW. And there's one particular story where he talks about having never been paid by WWE while he was on ECW.
Yeah.
And that was, like, really emotional for Paul Heyman.
Yeah.
Like, this is clearly, like...
Something that he's been...
This is clearly eating at him that people think that this happened.
Right.
And, you know, and, like, that's the kind of thing is, like, Paul Heyman makes his living being someone despicable who people don't like. He goes out of his way to try and make people not like him. That is his job.
Yeah.
To do low-down, despicable things. And not even in like a physical, like in a business practice. He is supposed to be a unreliable, irreputable, shady businessman, that kind of thing, who only looks out for himself. But this one thing, for people to think that real Paul Heyman would have taken money from WWE while he was on ECW, like, ate at his soul.
Yeah.
And so that was very interesting to see him.
Yeah. And there was like a couple stories. That he briefly mentioned, but did not go into any sort of detail with.
Mm-hmm.
They just kind of moved on. And I'm like, no, let's go back to that.
Yeah.
You know, I don't remember, there was like one specific one, I can't remember exactly what it was right off the top of my head. But there was a few cases where, like, I wish they would have went into more detail with certain things. But, you know, either they just didn't have time to, or it'll be in the extras, or... they couldn't talk about it for legal purposes.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, one of the things that was really interesting was when they mentioned that Shane was at one point getting close to buying ECW.
Right.
And then didn't.
Yeah.
Or WWE was going to buy it and then make it a thing for Shane to kind of train him to take over the company.
Yeah.
And if that had happened, would Shane still be here? Because I want Shane back.
I want Shane back.
And so it's the kind of thing where it's like, was this one of many things where, like, Shane did realize, like, this is Vince's company until Vince is dead.
Right.
Like, there's no handing over the reins and retiring for that guy.
Right.
And so he did eventually leave to go out and make it on his own.
Right.
In a completely other, different business.
Well, see, here's the thing. Here's what I kind of fantasize about with the future of the company. That Shane will come back... and he will be the head of the financial part of the company. The actual CEO, mm-hmm. or CFO, or not CFO, but like the actual like executive of the actual business. On the actual programming side, you have Triple H and Stephanie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they concentrate on that, because I don't think either of them by themselves would be a suitable CEO.
Yeah.
But with Sheamus now running his own company...
Shane?
Did I just say Sheamus?
You said Sheamus.
Wow. Now that Shane has gone out and he's, you know, accomplished all this on his own,
mm-hmm.
maybe that is his form of training.
Yeah.
It's his trying to make it on his own. And now he can come back and now he can actually run the business side of things. Now I would love to see him in front of the camera because I love Shane.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing is, like, you know, we've said before is, like, very selfishly, I want one more match for Mick Foley.
Right.
But I also don't want one more match for Mick Foley, because what I want is a real Mick Foley match.
Right.
And that would probably kill him.
Yes.
I also really want one more Shane then.
Right.
And I'm a little more selfish in this. Like, I want one, like, Shane's not quite where Mick Foley is. So no. It's like, I want like a real Shane match.
Right.
So, I don't know. And it's, and I want the, you can literally do that story again. The Shane versus Stephanie.
Yeah.
Feud. It's right there.
Yeah.
And like, and you know what, and it, and that's the thing is like, it's right there. If Shane's not interested, Paul Heyman versus Stephanie. Like I want the, we are in this period of transition. Yes. For all intents, on-screen purposes, Triple H and Stephanie are in charge.
Yeah.
But it just takes Vince to walk out again to be like, you're working on being in charge, but you're not.
Right.
You know, and we're in this period right now in these next couple of years where you are ripe for a power struggle for control of the company.
Right.
And I feel it's, don't not take advantage of that.
Yeah.
Because it's right there. It's right there on a silver platter. You've had to construe situations for it to happen before. So it might just be like a little personal favorite for me to like watch those.
Right.
Rather than like actually good. But it's one that I have not tired of seeing.
Mm-hmm.
So, I want that to happen. Dream is Shane to come back and do it.
Right.
I will take Paul Heyman to do it. I mean, even when it was like Johnny Ace and Teddy Long fighting for it,
mm-hmm.
it was still like, all right, let's go.
Yeah.
Because I like that up to WrestleMania. I really like that. I was like, it was exciting.
Sure.
Yeah. It was exciting.
Okay, it was exciting. Fine, whatever.
All right.
What's making you happy?
Making me happy, honestly, the game is goofy and it's fun.
Is that your wrestling related? Or
that's my wrestling related.
Okay.
Nothing else in wrestling is making me happy right now.
Fair enough.
So, little goofy card game. I've won more matches than I've lost. Good for me.
Congratulations. Anything non-wrestling related?
Non-wrestling related? Sierno goes up and I'm super nervous about
it. Yeah, Sierno opens up later on tonight and I'm a little bit nervous too.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'll be there.
All right.
What's making me happy? Of course, Sierra, obviously. Wrestling related, I'm really digging Monday Night War.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really digging that whole series. This is not anything to do with wrestling, but I thought it was a funny thing that I heard on this other podcast. And it was like the scenario thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been cracking me up ever since, and it probably says more about my own, maturity that I'm laughing so hard at this. But would you, for $10 million and immortality, except for the exception of there's one snail who's also immortal, whose sole purpose is to come after you, and the moment that snail touches you, you die. Do you take that?
Do I know what snail it is?
I'm assuming, yeah.
Or do I need to just avoid snails for the rest of my life?
I mean, probably both be on the safe side, but I'm assuming, yeah, you
like,
know.
Is it like a distinctive mark on the snail? Is it like,
yeah, let's go ahead and say yes.
Does it have six fingers on its right hand?
Yes. Yes. I'm assuming you know exactly what this certain snail looks like.
Okay. I feel like I would just trap the snail.
Yeah. Like, see, here's the thing. Like, first of all, I'm assuming you would have to hire somebody to capture the snail for you, because you wouldn't take a chance of being anywhere near it.
Yeah, right. I'll pay him $1 million.
Okay, fine.
Can the snail's immortal too?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm assuming the snail dies whenever you touch it.
Okay.
Or it touches you or whatever. But see, here's the thing. I just have this sneaky suspicion that this immortal snail will find a way out of whatever entrapment you find for it. Because, you know, I'm assuming this immortal snail is going to have a greater half-life than whatever you put it in.
Yeah, but here's the thing, really. $10 million is great, but $10 million will not keep me going forever.
Well, no.
It'll keep me going for the rest of my natural life. And at that point, whatever. But touch snail.
Yeah. At that point, like, if the snail can find you at that point, don't you think you kind of deserve it? Snail deserves that
victory? I've led a full $10 million life.
Okay.
So I don't need to live forever. I just need
so
to
far,
live.
My favorite answer, two favorite answers. My friend Cliff, he said, just carry salt with you at all times. And secondly, one of the guys on the podcast says, alright, I would just, you know, because you don't really have to worry about, you know, dying because you're immortal except for the snail.
Mm-hmm.
You just find a way to get to another planet and just stay on there and then just have this video feed of someone who you've hired to put the snail in some sort of container. And you can always watch it. But here's the thing. Once again, the person that you hired to do that is not immortal.
Yeah.
And how creepy would it be if you're on a planet by yourself, no one else, and all of a sudden this video feed cuts out? That's terrifying. Because that snail will find a way to that planet.
But that's what I'm saying. Is like, I don't want to take this bet and then spend my entire life focused on a snail.
Right.
Snail touches me, I die. Like, yeah. I just want $10 million, and I will take the odds of
that. And I'm assuming the snail will have to go to great lengths to get to you.
Yeah, like, no.
So if he reaches you, he kind of deserves it.
Yeah, no, if I get the money and then move states, like, not even, like, move countries, like, just move states, snail's gonna get to me for, like, a couple of years.
Right.
So I just move a little farther back.
There you go.
So.
Interesting thought.
Yeah. All right, time for some plugs?
Let's plug it.
All right, as always, you can follow us on Twitter. Let me just start all over and do this whole thing again.
Take two.
As always, you can follow us on Twitter, at CR Attire. We live tweet all Mondays and appropriate Sundays. That's at CR Attire. Live tweet. Have some fun with us on Twitter during Monday. It helps you get through the show.
Yep. And if you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to bring up on the show, send those to our email. That's classroomattire@gmail.com.
We are also on iTunes, so look us up there. Subscribe. Give us a rating of
5 stars.
Any kind of that kind of thing would really help out the show.
Yep. And if you're listening to us on wrestling.insidepulse.com, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you. And we should also mention,
We have finally gotten around to getting a Facebook page.
Yep.
for the show. So it's just facebook.com/classicringattire, is that correct?
Yep, or just search Classic Ring Attire and we'll come up.
All right. Give us a like there. That's an easy way to keep up with.
Yep. We'll post any, whenever we post the show, we'll post links. When one of us posts something on Pulse, like as far as written articles or anything like that, we'll keep you updated with Trash and Ring Attire. It's going to be just our all-in-one informational hub.
Yeah.
And if you want to send stuff on the mail stack, we will absolutely take your comments on there too.
Yep. All right, until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah!